Hispanics represent about 40% of the Catholic Church in America. It is the largest ethnic group in the church and one of the most important segments, with a majority of its members under the age of 35. The highest concentration of Hispanic Catholics lives on the U.S.-Mexico border in some of the country's most impoverished parishes. Catholic Extension is an organization that helps those parishes survive and, in many cases, thrive. Joseph Boland, Catholic Extension's vice president for mission, says Francis's decision to visit the border and his symbolic embrace of undocumented immigrants there sends a strong message about this pope's priorities.
He wants to put himself in the shoes of many people who have approached that border, who are facing many struggles. You know, one of the reasons why he is so good at what he does in showing mercy is because he places himself in the shoes of those who are homeless, those who are prisoners, those who are refugees.
Dios es tan bueno que le manda un economo desastroso que las lleva a la quiebra.
And so I think this act of celebrating a mass at the U.S. border fence and then actually coming up to the U.S. border fence and greeting the people on the U.S. side is a way for him to put himself in solidarity with those who have walked that walk.
It seems from what you're saying that the Pope definitely wants to send a message to Americans.
I think the Pope is coming to this border as a pastor. We have our own, you know, political constructs and ways of interpreting things, but I think the framework out of which he operates is a pastoral one, and so I see him coming to this border making a pastoral visit, and yes, there will be a focus on the poor, on those fleeing violence, perhaps on the refugees. But I really think that that's what he is trying to accomplish in this visit.
Now, the Pope will have a mass, a big outdoor mass at Ciudad Juarez, which is just over the border from El Paso. Then what exactly will he be doing on the American side, the El Paso side?
So the Pope is actually not stepping foot over into the United States. He is going to remain in Mexico. He will, however, I believe, try to come up to the fence and offer a greeting to the folks who are on the U.S. side. Now, what's being organized on the U.S. side is a wonderful event that we at Catholic Extension have been working with the Diocese of El Paso on organizing, which is an event at the Sun Bowl Stadium. And through the use of live stream video and technology, the Pope will be able to see the people in the Sun Bowl Stadium, and the people in the Sun Bowl Stadium will be able to see him. And so when he comes up to that border fence, he is going to offer a greeting as well as his blessing to all the people who have gathered on the U.S. side.
Sounds like it'll be a very moving moment.
It's going to be a wonderful moment, and you know, really the people in this region, from the moment that this announcement was made several months ago that the Pope was coming, our partners in the Diocese of El Paso got on the phone with us and just shared with us how uplifting it is going to be for them to experience Pope Francis in this region and to know that he's thinking about them, that he cares about them, and that he loves them, and that is worth so much to them. So this is really going to be, we believe, a transformative moment for them, one of great impact for the entire Southwest region.
It might be so easy for them just to feel that they're forgotten by the rest of the country.
Well, one of the things Pope Francis encourages all of us to do, and in fact this was his message to Congress when he came to Washington, D.C. several months ago, he said, you know, you need to listen to the stories of those people. He didn't propose any policy changes when he went there. He said the most important thing that you can do as a nation is to listen to their stories, understand where they're coming from, put yourself in their shoes. And I think for the people who are down there, who are often forgotten, the people who are on the margins, perhaps the people who have no voice at the table, he is going to shine a light on them, and he is going to shine a light on their reality. And the fact that the Pope would come personally and do that on their behalf, I think, is something that gives them unbelievable hope.
Joe, you work for Catholic Extension, an organization that obviously is very committed to that part of the country, the border. What do you think when you hear immigrants called criminals, rapists, by a presidential candidate?
Our mandate, which comes from the gospel itself, is to see people as fellow human beings, and then we go from there. And so I do think there is some hurtful language that's out there that really diminishes the humanity of people, and I think what this Pope is going to do, if he sparks our conscience in any way, it will be to urge us to see our fellow neighbors as human beings, and to always let that be our starting point.
How have the people in the area of the border reacted to some of the shrill comments that have been said about them in the course of the current presidential election?
Well, I don't normally get into political discussions with the folks when I'm down at the border. What's really inspiring about the folks down there is you know, things kind of come and go in our national media, certain topics or themes. But they have lived this reality of on the border for so many years, and so they are really focused on doing all that they can within the scope of their limitations to be able to help those who are in front of them. And so many of the church organizations that we partner with do an unbelievable job of providing outreach to those who are hungry, to those who are thirsty, to those who need a helping hand. And that's really what they focus their time and attention on. Not necessarily the politics of it, but focusing on what they can do as people who live on the border to respond to the reality that's in front of their face.
Joe, give me a snapshot of the types of programs Catholic Extension has in these border towns.
First and foremost, one of the things that we do is help build churches. That's kind of traditionally what we've been doing for the past 110 years, is to ensure that people have not just churches, but program centers, facilities where people can come and they can gather and they can experience community. The second very important thing that we do in the border region and throughout the country and in poor communities is help bring programs that develop local leaders. Because we really believe that if communities, especially church communities, have well-formed, well-trained leaders, that becomes a catalyst for transformation going forward. And so we have many programs, scholarship programs with some of the major universities of the United States that allow people from these regions to get wonderful education and training so that they can be leaders within their community going forward. And then thirdly, we provide support to sustain ministries that reach out to the poorest of the poor, that reach out to the margins, that help sustain some of these critical activities of the church that enables them to really serve the poor. And so those are the things that Catholic Extension has been up to, not just in the border region, but throughout the country.
Where does the bulk of your funding come from?
The bulk of our funding does come from private donations, and Catholic Extension does not receive any government grants. We do not receive any, we don't benefit from any national church collections. Everything that we receive comes from individual donors giving. The other way that we raise funds actually is by selling religious calendars, which are often found in the back of churches, available for the faithful this time of year. So that's actually a way in which we generate some support as well. But it is through individual donations and the generosity of tens of thousands of people throughout the United States.
Joe Boland is the Vice President for Mission for Catholic Extension. Thank you so much, Joe, for talking with us.
Thanks for the opportunity.
I'm Judy Valente.